This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, Colleen Gray shares helpful information for disaster preparation for pet parents during National Pet Preparedness Month. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Everyone across the country has the potential for natural disasters like hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, blizzards, wildfires, earthquakes, landslides, just to name a few. No matter where we live, it's always a good idea to be prepared. And in case of any emergencies, National Pet Preparedness Month, which is in June of each year, is there to encourage pet parents to create emergency plans and disaster preparedness kits for their pets and for themselves and their families. It's important to remember that if it's unsafe for you to stay in your home during a disaster, it's unsafe for your pets to stay as well. And with us today is Colleen Gray. Colleen's from the West Coast. She's in California, who will be sharing, along with me, who is on the East Coast, some helpful information to help prepare for disasters, what to do during a disaster, and also what to do after disaster, and how it could impact you, your pets, and your surroundings. So I want to welcome back Colleen. Welcome back, Colleen.
Hello, it's great to be with you.
So good to have you. And this is such an important month to officially start preparing for, in my case, hurricane season, but also as a California pet parent, you have like a different level of preparedness that you have to prepare for with these weather-related and environmental disasters and those challenges that impact the West Coast. So what I thought I'd do is I will start with our East Coast weather-related issues, and then you can share the West Coast, which is equally important and critical, but kind of in a different way. So I'm going to start with the East Coast. You can go to the West Coast, and then I think that hopefully everyone will have their pens and papers ready because it's kind of like a different set of preparedness and kits that we're going to be putting together. A lot of it will be the same, but some of it's different based on where we're located. So, well, because hurricane season begins June 1st, the month of June is also recognized as National Pet Preparedness Month. And for those of us living in Florida and on the coast here, or the Gulf Coast, the most effective way to prepare for this type of stormy weather is to start planning now. Every home should have their hurricane preparedness kits ready for their pets and for pet parents in case of weather-related emergencies. So what I'm going to do is I put together some of the things that I do and also that we've recommended throughout the years here on the Suncoast. So number one, it's very important, have your pets collars on at all times with their tags on for easy identification. And verify that the current contact information is on your pet's ID tags. And very important, and I learned this during a hurricane, and I think we all learned it during Katrina, very important to have an out-of-state contact number on the tag as well, because you want to make sure that if any of the cell towers or any of your local communications go out, if you happen to be separated for your pet from any, for any reason, with their collars on, with their IDs on, there could be notification made to someone out of state just to let them know that the pet is being held so that, you know, when the services come back up, that you could be contacted. And also, along with the collar and ID tags, please make sure that your pet is microchipped. If your pets should ever become lost or separated you again for any reason, microchipping your fur kids, it just greatly increases the chances of locating them. It's very critical to keep your contact information current if you happen to move, if you happen to be even on vacation somewhere, if you spend months in one part of the country and other months in another part of the country, make sure you have your correct ID tags on and make sure that you also have your microchip information pertaining to where you're going to be. And again, include that out-of-state contact number in case any of the local phone or cell connections are not in service. Another thing is leashes and harnesses. Be sure to bring a harness and an extra leash for each pet in case they pull out of their collars. I know some people never use harnesses. I didn't until, again, we had an emergency, and I know the importance of them. So have the harness on, and I also have an ID tag on the harness. And I have the collar on with their ID as well. So just make sure. And I have on my collar, I actually got the hard little tag that has the microchip information on it as well. So you may want to do that because, again, microchipping and keeping the information current is very, very important. You may also want to have, because, and I believe, Colleen, you're going to be going over this, whether it be during or after a disaster, you also, you know, your pet is acclimating. It may be in a stressful situation where you've never had to muzzle your pet, but have a pet muzzle on hand in your kit just in case. You never know when your pets are anxious or the what's going on outside, or when you actually leave your house, the surroundings have changed. Then you want to make sure that your pet's in a muzzle so that it doesn't do anything out of anxiety. Always make sure you pack your, have your crates ready. We have collapsible crates. You know, we have crates in our house for the dogs, but I also have collapsible crates that are in the room that I keep all of, that I keep my like go kit in, and I can just throw them into the back of the truck and the, everything will be good. They don't take up much space. And if you have to go into a shelter situation where you're going to a pet-free shelter, you want to make sure that your crates are ready to go. And also, if you have a smaller pet, make sure it's in a carrier and make sure that both the crate and the carrier, that they can move around in it. And in a crate, it's important that be able to lie down, to stand up, to turn around in. And always make sure you have familiar favorite beds, blankets, and toys for your pets in case you do have to go into a shelter situation where they will have familiar things in their within their crates. And also, it's always important to check with the shelter before you go. Make sure it's pet friendly. You can go into your local government websites that will tell you where there are pet friendly shelters. But I always also have a plastic sleeve for the outside of the crate with a picture of my dog and me, so that people will know that these are my pets and that they're easily identifiable. So that may be something. And then I just have the contact information on the back of the picture. And some essential supplies that we all need as pet parents. You have to pack up extra dog waste bags. I have these great bags. They are actually, at least they're smell proof. We use them all year round, actually. We used them in a hurricane situation, and they are so effective. We use them all year round. They're great. And we also, you have to have disinfectant on hand, paper towels, and then I use Ziploc bags as well and put everything in trash bags, disposable trash bags. And for those of you that have kitties, you're going to need a kitty litter box that fits inside your kitty's carrier. And don't forget to pack extra kitty litter, a scoop, and again, secure disposable trash bags. You could also put it inside a Ziploc bag to ensure that, you know, it's the waste and the odor are trapped in the bag, the Ziploc bag, before you put it in the trash bag. And again, if you do not have a kitty litter box small enough for your carrier or a small crate that you're going to have your cat in, please make sure that you look at, and you can get them at the dollar store, you can get them at different places. They're small gift boxes. You could use a small gift box for your cat as a kitty litter box as well if you can't find one that's small enough. Very important to have your pet's photos, current photos. And I know this may sound odd, but we never know what time of year disaster is going to strike. So please make sure that you have a photo of your, whether it be a dog or a cat, before grooming and after grooming, because as we all know, they could look like two different pets after the grooming. And also make sure you have a photo of not only your pet alone, but again, have a photo of you with your pets. So they would be the pet parent and the pet. For food, treats, water, pack enough for at least 5 days for each pet. And don't forget bowls, a can opener if you bring canned pet food. For myself, what I do is I have the collapsible bowls. They're very handy. I have one for each of them, one for water, one for food. And I have the canned food, the wet food that I give them, also comes in a freeze-dried food. I have the freeze-dried bags packed right now, and my kit's all packed and ready to go. I have the freeze-dried food, and then I have treats in there as well, and water. I have packs of water. You could buy them. They're like good for 5 years. I also have bottled water for the house, but if we have to leave, you can't bring 30 bottles of water. So I have, and you can order them online too. It's just small water containers that pack up very, very handily and are good for if you're going to be put in a situation where either you have to go to a shelter or you are without water for a few days in your home. And medications, it's very important, especially I'm in hurricane season, so all of our vets are on high alert and know that we're going to be looking for things going into this season. So make sure you contact your veterinarian in advance to ensure that all of your pet's prescriptions are filled and up to date. And if your pet suffers from any weather-related anxiety issues, I have two that are severely affected by weather-related anxiety issues. Discuss medications with your vet or discuss with them alternate calming treatments. I have, for all of mine, I have a thunder shirt, and I also have Rescue Remedy, and I have calming chews that I actually get from my vet. So these are things you want to have on hand, and also make sure that you place all of the medications in a waterproof container. We have them in waterproof packages that we actually ordered online, and we put them inside of the container that we have, our little go container. And the medical records, obtain your pet's vaccine and all of their medical records by contacting your veterinarian. Many of us can go online. There's online access to our pet's records because if you must evacuate and you're going to a pet-friendly shelter, your pet's medical records are mandatory. So please make sure that your pet's photos and medical paperwork are kept in a waterproof document protector. And you'll find that that's very helpful. And also, as you put it in your kit, you're going to find that these things are easier to access if you have them located that way. I've talked about the shelters, the pet-friendly shelters. If you are going to, if you're in an evacuation area and where I am, it's, you know where your code is for your evacuation area. If you're in an evacuation area, you're probably going to be planning ahead and you're going to, you can also go to, there's pet-friendly hotels that are off further inland from the evacuation areas. And please include your pets in your evacuation plans. Never, ever leave your pet at home. Always ensure that the shelter or hotel you're taking them to is pet friendly well before you arrive. If the day of is going to be too late, please make sure you have all of this information. You're probably going to want to keep a lot of it in your phone so that it's ready the minute you hear the warning that you're ready to go, or that you have made arrangements ahead of time so that you could. And it may be that you have friends that live out of the evacuation zone or family. Just make sure that the plans are made well in advance and that they know that you'll be coming with your pets, and have all of the things ready that we just discussed to make sure it's already packed away so that you're ready to go when you have to. And again, I'm going to say, do not leave your pets behind. If you absolutely cannot take your pets with you and need to evacuate, make your pets' boarding arrangements well in advance with your veterinarian and or a boarding facility. And a lot of veterinarians have boarding facilities. I have my vet has this, a large boarding facility with the hospital. And there are a number of other places, locations around where I am that have that. But also with your vet's help, or you may just know of different boarding facilities that you could place your pet in. So make sure you have all of this information well beforehand. That's why I say June's a great month. It's the beginning of hurricane season here. So it's a great month to make sure you have all of this information in your phones or on a piece of paper where it's in waterproof. I also have a waterproof carrier for my phone. And just make sure that if you are going to be going to a boarding facility, and again, your vet will know this, but they're going to be having so many pets staying with them, make sure that you provide them with your pet's medication, the dosing schedule, the food that you're feeding them. You have to bring your own food, and the feeding instructions. And be sure to discuss any anxiety issues that your pets may have well beforehand with where you're going to be taking them. It's very important to be prepared. Being prepared is the number one key to survival for both you and your fur kids during these extreme weather events. And as always, contact your veterinarian for your pet's health-related questions and concerns going into this, or just along the way. Have them in your phone. In case we lose cell phone service, have them in a location, the numbers in a location that you will be able to contact them. If you have pet insurance, just make sure that everything's where you could just go to right away. And for more information on pet disaster preparedness, please visit the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals online. That's at www.aspca.org. And again, I can't stress enough, it's so important to be prepared. And that's why June is perfect, a perfect time for all of us to get together and start preparing for our pet safety and for our safety as well. So I think what I'm going to do right now is take a quick break. And then when we come back, we could talk to Colleen a little more about disaster preparedness, and also how specifically you prepare with wildfires, with earthquakes, landslides. And also we'll both talk about what we do after the disaster occurs, how we could help with our pets' anxiety and our anxiety. So we will be back in just a moment.
The Doggy Diva Diaries is proud to announce the Paw It Forward initiative in loving memory of Miss Olive. Each month, a portion of the proceeds from Miss Olive's trilogy of award-winning books will be donated to a selected animal welfare organization. The designated charity will be revealed at the end of each Doggy Diva Show episode. Miss Olive's legacy of kindness and love lives on in her books, which are about a lonely little rescue dog who spreads the message that it's not what you look like on the outside that matters. It's the love in your heart that counts. Her books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. Help Miss Olive paw it forward and visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here with Colleen Gray discussing June being National Pet Preparedness Month. We have heard about disaster prep for the East Coast and hurricanes and flooding. But Colleen, can you share with us, because you have a little bit of a different situation with your weather and environmental situations on the West Coast and your challenges. Can you share a little bit of that with us? Because even though we all have our go kits, preparedness kits, you know, crates ready, there's a little bit more to do on the West Coast, because usually I know ahead of time when a hurricane's going to hit. A lot of times with the wildfires, you have to do an immediate evacuation. So can you share a little bit of that with us?
Absolutely. Yep. You know, wherever we live, there are weather events and emergencies that happen. And like you said, here in California, we have wildfires, earthquakes, landslides, and other things. But those tend to be the three issues that provide the most cause for concern as far as preparing for an emergency. And it is a little bit different out here. I'll just use wildfires as an example, because that seems to be the most, knock on wood, that seems to be the most frequent natural disaster that we deal with on a more frequent basis than we used to. So just kind of how it differs a little bit from the East Coast and what you had just described. So in terms of the go kit, I believe everything you said is exactly applicable to the West Coast as well. So all of the items that you mentioned, the microchipping, the items that you need, the go kit, medications, et cetera, those would be the same. So that was a fantastic list that you went through. Some things, though, that we take into consideration here in California, and certainly even on the West Coast. I know Oregon and Washington have fires. We just tend to have several of them down here in Southern California per year. But you know, in terms of the difference, is that we tend to have less warning time versus a hurricane. Typically, hurricanes are tracked sometimes for days in advance, but wildfires can start with no notice or short notice, requiring instant reaction and evacuation. So we really have to be ready in an instant. Also, predictability. You know, hurricane paths can, again, be tracked and forecasted. They can still be unpredictable. But the challenge with the fires here in California is the wind can shift, the terrain is different, the dry fuel can cause the wildfires to change speed and direction very, very fast. It's interesting to think about this area in Southern California as being a desert, but it truly is. So we have a lot of dry fuel, dry vegetation that fuels these fires. Even when we have a wet winter, oftentimes that will encourage growth and we'll have lots of green vegetation, but then that dries out. So it's kind of a double-edged sword when we have rainy seasons, but the more fuel that we have for these fires to grow, the more challenging they can be. So another thing is the scale and distance. So wildfires are typically highly localized. The evacuees usually travel much shorter distances to temporary assembly areas or local shelters versus the hurricanes. But again, it's very, very intense on a very short notice level when you're dealing with wildfires. So you really have to have that plan firmly in place before you have to handle the situation. And then also in terms of the routing risks. So for escaping a wildfire can be complicated by smoke, reducing visibility, and the fire potentially jumping or blocking designated exit routes. So you really need to have a couple of different routes in mind in your plan just in case things change. Hurricane evacuations have different challenges, like, you know, the massive traffic congestion, bridge closures, et cetera, due to high winds. But you do have to prepare similarly to have a few routes in place when you're preparing for wildfire evacuation. And it used to be that wildfire season decades ago, probably I moved here almost 40 years ago. And it once you got through the fall, you were pretty safe in terms of wildfires for at least a few months. Now it is truly a year-round concern that we have here. There's a wonderful app called Watch Duty that I have on my phone, and we get notifications. You can set the state and county in which you'd like to get the notification. So I'm in San Diego, and I got a notification today. I'm looking at my notifications for Watch Duty that there is a 500-acre fire in East San Diego County. So it's quite a ways from here, but it is 500 acres and remains 10% contained. So that's kind of the scale of some of these fires. And this started not that long ago. So they can get really big, really fast. So you really do have to be prepared.
And I just wanted to ask one more thing about the app. Can you just give the app out again? Because I know that there's quite a few people that have that app, and there's others that may not even know about it.
Yeah, one of my friends told me about it a couple of years ago. I lived here for a really long time. I didn't know about it. And it's called Watch Duty, WATCHDUTY. And you can just download it from the app store, and it's wonderful. And then you just set the locations that you want to have on alert. And it's great. We had fires here not too long ago, gosh, probably about 2 weeks ago, that were about 10 miles from my house. And it was a windy day. So even though it was, you know, about 10 miles away, we were thinking about it and you know, starting to potentially get ready to evacuate. So fortunately, the wonderful, wonderful firefighters we have Cal Fire here, and then of course our county and city fire departments. They are absolutely fantastic. So we're really, really lucky for such wonderful people helping us out, and they do a really great job getting them knocked down. But sometimes they're really tough. So, but anyway, yeah, if you are in an area with wildfires, I definitely recommend downloading the Watch Duty app.
That's wonderful. And, you know, what we have mostly talked about in going through June being National Pet Preparedness Month, we've talked about, you know, small domestic animals, our pets. Mm-hmm. But you work at a large animal veterinary hospital. Can you, and again, we don't want to go into like a lot, but can you just share some information regarding large animals and livestock information just in preparation for any type of a weather or environmental disaster?
Yes. It's particularly scary when you have a large animal and you need to get them out of an area quickly because there are just additional logistics. And I have actually had to evacuate before. It was in, I believe it was 1996, and I had a horse in Carlsbad, California, and we could actually see fire coming over the hill, and it was at the time a very undeveloped area, and there were eucalyptus trees, and they were just going up like matchsticks. So fortunately, we had a plan and were able, there were several people with their horses on the property. We were able to evacuate to the fairgrounds in Del Mar. A lot of times those are the types of areas that you evacuate to with large animals, but it is just a whole different level of coordination and planning when you have livestock and large animals. So just a few things I wanted to touch on. The first thing is to maintain a road-ready trailer and truck. So if you just have it ready to go, have it maintained, practice loading your animals, so make sure that they can get on a trailer, that they're not, you know, extra fearful getting on a trailer, because in an emergency, it's going to be a stressful situation anyway. But if they're used to getting on the trailer, it's just that much easier, because it is crucial that they're able to get on the method of transport. So the first thing is make sure you have your road ready trailer, or you have a friend that you've made arrangements with that has a truck and trailer. Know generally where your offsite sheltering might be. So here in San Diego, we have the Del Mar Fairgrounds. There are, maybe check your local county websites, you can even just Google large animal evacuation websites and just look specifically to your area and just see where those evacuation sites might be. You might know intuitively, but it's definitely good to know generally where you can take your animals before you actually have to leave. You also want to pack, again, a 7 to 14 day go kit featuring food, water, medical records, ID tags, et cetera. And then when you do put together your evacuation plan, calculate your trailer capacity. So see how many animals you can actually haul. If you don't have enough space in your trailer, make sure to prearrange with neighbors or friends or local community haulers for backup transport. It's really, really important to have that in mind and planned out in advance. As I had said, make sure you practice loading, regularly inspect your equipment, make sure your trailers and your trucks are in good working order, their brakes work, their running lights work, your hitch is fully functional, super important. And then also kind of like you're just evacuating from your home, you want to pre-plan your routes. So identify at least a couple of different evacuation routes in case the primary roads are blocked, because you just never know. The go kit for large animals, as I had mentioned, is a little bit different, but generally similar. You know, your water, you want to have 6 to 10 gallons per horse per day, plus buckets. Make sure you have buckets. You want to pack a 14-day supply of feed and hay in waterproof containers per animal. Identification, like we do with our small animals, you want permanent forms of ID. Microchips and tattoos, also have waterproof photos of you with your large animals to prove ownership. Have your medical and legal documents with you, copies of Coggins tests, vaccination records, et cetera. And then also your handling gear, which would be halters, lead ropes, flashlights, thick gloves, first aid supplies, and all that. If you aren't able to evacuate your animals, if the roads are closed and it's too late to leave, make sure that you put the livestock in large overgrazed pastures rather than wooded areas or small barns where they could be trapped by falling trees. You don't want to lock large animals into an enclosed barn. And also ensure that all your gates can be opened easily and mark animals with non-toxic spray paint. So people actually spray paint their phone number on their animals with non-toxic paint. And you can also write your phone number on their hooves. So those are just kind of a few different ideas. A great place to go for a good checklist and also some more specifics about how to prepare is the American Veterinary Medical Association has a section under emergency care. You can type in large animal and livestock. They have a really good checklist of the items you'll need and how to prepare in case of emergency. And the website, it's avma.org, American Veterinary Medical Association, avma.org.
Wow, that's great information. Thank you so much, because most of the time we talk about, you know, our pets, and we tend to forget, and I know that you're around them all the time, but sometimes we forget to talk about what to do with our large animals and the livestock. So I thank you so much. That's great information. Very helpful. Before we go, what I want to talk about with you, and I think that we've both experienced this, how to go about, we've prepared for the disaster, we've already taken care of what goes on in the disaster, or if you have to go to a shelter or your pet, you know, is some in a boarding facility or whatever, you've gone through what you have to do to prepare, what you have to do during the hurricane or disaster or wildfires, and then after the disaster, when you have to assess your home, assess your yard, your streets, and you have to do all of that before you can even take your pets outside, which they are probably in a high anxiety situation as it is because of what we happened to be in the middle of a tornado not too long ago, which did a lot of damage to our home. And we had the pets in crates in our safe room, and we were fine. But when we came out, it's a very tenuous situation. So can you share some of some advice or some information that you may have with that?
Sure, absolutely. So like you said, you know, you and your animals have just gone through a real high anxiety situation, and their behavior may change some after a disaster. You know, they don't understand. They don't really know what happened. So kind of be aware of their well-being and protect them from hazards to ensure the safety of them, of other people, and other animals. So watch them closely. Keep them under your direct control, since fences and gates may have been damaged. So, you know, just keep them close and keep an eye on them. Also, pets may become disoriented, particularly if the disaster has affected scent markers that normally allow them to find their way home. So I think that would be, you know, in most disasters, that would be applicable. Also, be aware of hazards at nose and paw level, particularly debris, spilled chemicals, fertilizers, and other substances that might not seem to be dangerous to humans, but you have to kind of think of those hazards, you know, down at their level, at their nose and paw level. And then also, you know, consult your veterinarian if any behavior problems persist. So if they just, you know, if they're anxious for a little bit longer than, you know, that you feel that is normal, you just set up an appointment with your vet, have them checked out, and then, you know, they may be able to make some recommendations on how to help them, you know, settle down and feel better and get back into normal life.
Also, it would be for, I guess, in preparation and during, and especially after, have a first aid kit on hand. You could go to the Red Cross or the ASPCA. They have different DIYs if you want to put a kit together, but you could also buy one online. You want to make sure that you have enough in there to take care of, you know, if there is an injury or something that you want to take care of right away.
Absolutely. So you can never be too prepared.
Never be too prepared. And I think the bottom line, I think what this is all about is make sure that you recognize and treat your pets like the family that they are, and to include them in all of your evacuation plans. And what's good too is, and I would imagine this would be for disasters on your side of the country and my side of the country, when you put your, whether it be an evacuation plan, a disaster plan together, and if you have different family members, assign each person something. Maybe it may be a pet. Maybe it'll be to put the crates in the truck. Maybe it'll be to put the totes, food, whatever it may be. If you have someone in charge of it, you're not all, and it's written out on paper, or you've got it in your phone, or you've got it on your computer, so that everybody knows what they have to do, and kind of do like a dry run ahead to make sure that everyone knows what they have to do, so that everyone's not like bumping into each other. It's like more of a well-coordinated plan. And that, and again, we learned this, you know, it was like, oh, I got my kit ready to get to, no, you have to plan. And that's why this month is so important. And you brought so much information to this, Colleen, that, you know, we normally do hurricane preparedness, but to do the wildfires and earthquakes and the large animals, thank you for bringing that knowledge to us. That it's very valuable. And whereas, you know, we're heard all over the place, I'm sure that people will find that valuable in preparing for their whatever disasters they have in their area.
Absolutely. And if it just, you know, the information just helps a handful of people, that's wonderful.
And if people have questions, they can always go to the Red Cross and ASPCA.org. And what was the large animal one?
It's the American Veterinary Medical Association. It's the AVMA. ma.org. And also, if, you know, as I had mentioned, to check in your local area for the potential evacuation sites, this could be for large animal and small animal. Here in San Diego County, we have the San Diego County Department of Animal Services. So I'm sure in every person's county, they have an animal services website. So check that out. Check, it would be a good time to check it out, you know, today or when you're putting your plan together, just so you are kind of familiar with the places that, you know, do accept animals and you kind of can have that in place.
Yes, and you're right. Today's the day to today's the day to start preparing. You can never be too prepared. So, well, I want to thank you so much for being our guest and sharing such vital information for pet parents, for large animal livestock, all that. You brought so much awareness to us during National Pet Preparedness Month. And in honor of our beloved Miss Olive and her Pot Forward program, we will be making a donation to Spay and Neuter Action Project in San Diego, SNAP, in your name. And, you know, I know this is an organization that you're very passionate about and you're involved with. Can you just tell us a little bit about SNAP?
Thank you so much for the donation to the Spay and Neuter Action Project. It is an organization that is very near and dear to my heart. And I'm just so thrilled with the work that they do every day in our county, providing thousands of low-cost spays and neuters throughout San Diego County each year. So SNAP was co-founded in 1990 by a group of women who volunteered at local shelters. And it was clear to them that, of course, over time, the population of animals that are taken into the shelters, you know, it just balloons. And they saw it for themselves and they were trying to think of a solution. So they felt that by establishing affordable spay and neuter clinics, that could be a real help in curbing the animal overpopulation in San Diego. So they founded SNAP in 1990. And they have what's called a neuter scooter. It's a large bus. It's a mobile surgical suite. And they go throughout San Diego County and they provide low-cost spay and neuter all throughout the area. So they really get into every corner of the county. Sometimes the spay and neuter days are sponsored by different organizations and the spay and neuters are free. But if people do pay for the spay and neuter services, they're very, very low cost, very affordable. And also, if you get your animal spayed or neutered with SNAP, they will provide a microchip implant for an additional $10. So you can have your animal altered and microchipped. They do fantastic work. They have a new affordable spay and neuter actual suite. It's actually a building in East San Diego County. That was just, I believe it was a year or so ago, they opened that. So they have the neuter scooter, they have the new spay and neuter facility in East San Diego County, and there's gonna be an additional neuter scooter that they are going to outfit and have ready to go, hopefully within the next 6 months. So they just do fantastic work. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting them because they just do a wonderful job helping our community here in San Diego.
Oh, no. And I know you speak so highly of them. And I end each of my shows with remember to spay and neuter a microchip. So they're very near and dear to my heart as well. And for people who may want to learn more or may want to help contribute to the wonderful work that they're doing, can you please share their information where people could go to find out more about them?
Absolutely. So it's the Spay and Neuter Action Project. Their website is snap-sandiego.org. So it's snap-sandiego.org.
Thank you. That's an amazing organization. And I also want to thank you for bringing so much knowledge and experience to this show. This is like my show every year. I just feel so important to be prepared, especially during National Pet Preparedness Month, which not only is it for us and our pets. But I think that as it just shows from what you shared and what I shared, that it's something that's throughout the entire country. So I certainly hope that this helped. And all of you listeners, you know, please be safe and be prepared. So thank you very much. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Shearer.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Bourne.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown? Pet Life Radio, the Tail Wagger.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.